Today, I'm loud. Today is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's bad enough you have to listen to me, but for me to have to listen to myself. I did not mention it last week, but there are two pages back there of scriptures from last week's lesson and this week's. I'm not doing a month study on each of those, because I just, the scriptures did not give me enough scriptures to do for a month, so I did one last week and this week, but those are right on that back table for the last 2 weeks if you're interested in getting the full month of scriptures, dealing with saying goodbye to yesterday and today, dealing with our subject. What do you think of when I say the word idolatry? What picture comes into your mind? Maybe some scriptures that come into your mind. What comes into your mind when I say idolatry? To me, the picture that comes into my mind is a golden calf. And there's only one section in the Bible that deals with a golden calf. You would think it would be more, but when I did a search, it was only one section that we're going to look at this morning. The other one that came to my mind was in Daniel 3 with King Nebuchadnezzar when he made an image of gold that stood 60 cubits, which a cubit is the length of your elbow to your fingertips, which is generally 18 inches. I measured mine this morning and I was 18 and a half, so I'm normal or close to normal. But that 60 cubits would come out to about 90 feet. That this golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made, and he put it out in the desert and decreed that everybody should bow down to it. And if they did not bow down to it, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace, which leads us to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to it. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and of course, they survived, even though they had cranked it up to, I think it was twice the normal heat, and the people who threw them in died from the heat, okay? But they survived it, okay? So when I think of idols, those are the two that come to my mind in the Old Testament. Well, I want to go back and look at the one in Exodus 20 and Exodus 32 that deal with this golden calf. God made this his first commandment for man, because he knew what the Israelites were doing at the base of the mountain. This is when God gave Moses, who had come up to, left the Israelites down in the valley and went up on Mount Sinai, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment, God said, and he spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, when we read the Old and the New Testament, God and Jesus never said anything. They never did anything just willy-nilly, just off the top of their head. Everything they did, everything they said had a purpose, okay? A lot of times you see Jesus in the New Testament, he'll have a he'll say a parable, and then something will happen that refers back to that parable. Or something would happen and Jesus would tell a parable, okay? Or give a lesson. But they all intertwine. And that's what we see here. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai. God has given him the Ten Commandments. And the first one he gives him is, you will have no other gods before me. Because what are the Israelites doing? They have come to Aaron and they said, you know, well, we'll read that later. I won't go into it now. I don't want to give away the secret. Okay. But, you know, God, when he gives these commandments, four of them, he says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and you should not bear false witness. Okay. Just a simple command. But the other ones, he explains what he means by that command. So Jesus said, or God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Continuing in verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Okay? God's explaining what he means by this commandment. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Do not make a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven. Do not worship the stars, or the sun, or the planets, or a comet that flies through the night sky. Not too many years ago, we saw that happen, didn't we? There was a group called Heaven's Gate that was worshiping, I think it was Halley-Bopp comet that was coming through. And they killed themselves thinking that they were going to tag on to the tail of Halley-Bopp comet and be taken up into heaven. Okay? This is what God is saying. Do not worship anything that is in the heavens or that is in the earth beneath. Do not worship anything. Do not worship man. Do not worship animals. Or as we will see, half man and half animals. Do not worship birds. Okay? Do not worship anything on this earth or that is in the water under the earth. Do not worship fish. Do not worship turtles or octopus or anything that is under the earth. Do not worship and create images of anything in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth. You shall not bow down and serve them. And then we go on to Exodus 32, verses 1 and 2, and then the first part of verse 4. This is what was going on down at the bottom of Mount Sinai while Moses is up in the mountain getting the commandments. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." And then the last half of verse 4, and they said, "These are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." So like I said, God knew what was going on down below. He knew what the Israelites were doing. The first commandment was, "Do not make any other gods before me. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt." Not this golden calf that Aaron is making out of your golden earrings. Okay? God knew what was going on. And that was his first commandment. Do not make any other images to worship. Now, when you think of idols today, what do you think of? Maybe you think of something like this. I don't know how well you can see that with the light on. But this is idols that people worship today. In the top left-hand corner, you know, like I said, I don't know if you can make them out or not, but we see images of men. We see images that are half animal and half man. In the bottom right-hand corner, you see a squirrel, you know, that people are worshiping. In the corner, top right-hand corner, you will see Bob, the snake of a cobra, the body of a cobra, but the top half of a torso of a man. You will see alligators. You will see women. You will see elephants and all kinds of different things that man has created to worship. You know, in the bottom right-hand corner, you will see owls, again, of this earth. In the bottom left-hand corner, it might be hard to see, but there are water buffaloes. Looks like a cougar or something in the bottom. There are other things in there, monkeys and different things that man has made from the heavens, from the earth, and from the sea to worship. The things that God specifically said, do not to worship. Do not make graven images and worship them. Do not worship these idols. And that is what man is doing today. I want to read a couple of more scriptures in the Old Testament dealing with idols. In Psalm 106, verse 36, They served their idols, which became a snare to them. Why? David tells us that serving idols will become a snare to those who worship these creations. Even though they represent God's creations, we are not to worship them as some do. They will become a snare and will drive a wedge between us and the true living God. I want you to remember this verse as we continue our study this morning on idols. Idols will become a snare to us as Christians. In Jonah 2, verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols, which are what they are, they're vain idols, they have no meaning, they do nothing, okay? They forsake their hope of steadfast love. Jonah gives us a great insight into the repercussions of our actions, the impact or recoil or the consequences of vain idol worship. We forsake our hope of steadfast love. We forsake the love of each other, the love of our family, and the love of our spouse, and the steadfast love of God. Hang on, Reed. We don't worship idols today. That might be true if you are only thinking of physical carved idols. Remember, the New Testament is introducing a new law, a new religion, a new way to worship God. The idols that they're talking about here were from the Old Testament. When we see the idols, you know, the idols to Baal, the idol that Nebuchadnezzar made, the golden calf, was a physical idol that they could worship. Okay? And that is what they're referring to here. Now let's go to the New Testament. We read here where Paul is talking about the old law, how the Jews still worshiped idols of man and birds and animals and creeping things. In Romans 1, verse 18, and then 22 through 23, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Claiming, verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things, which is what we just saw pictures of, wasn't it? Where people have given up on God, like the Israelites, and have gone to heavenly, earthly, and sea-going creatures to worship instead. Second Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Okay? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Remember, Old Testament, there was a physical temple that they went and worshiped in. What has that got to do with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Not the physical temple, but we are now the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There are no more temples where God dwells, a physical temple. Remember, the curtain of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom by God himself when his son died on the cross, doing away with that type of worship, doing away with God being in the temple. Now, when we are baptized, the Holy Spirit resides in us, and we are now the temple of God. And again, our physical temple, our bodies, has no place, no agreement with idols. Paul asks the question, what agreement does our living temple of God have to do with idolatry? And of course, the answer to that is nothing. In Colossians 3, verse 5, what do you think of when you think of idols in the New Testament? Do you think of anything? Because idols are not mentioned as a physical object that they were bowing down and worshiping. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verse 5, Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Remember, we've talked about earthly things. Where does the devil dwell? On the earth. Whose domain is the earth? The devil. Okay? So we've got to be careful that we don't take in any of these earthly urges that come from the devil. Paul goes on. What are they? Sexual immorality comes from the devil. Impurity. Impurity refers to a substance that is present in small amounts in another substance, making it dirty or of poor quality. It can prevent a substance from being pure. This reminded me of a story years ago. My best friend, Bob Gorslin, had the teens over from church, and they were doing a Devo, and they had snacks afterwards, and he brought out this big plate of brownies, and everybody was wanting a brownie. Being an engineer, he had to tell them how they were made, you know, and he goes, you know, talks about a cup of sugar and, you know, cocoa mix and eggs and whatever, and he says, but the special ingredient that makes these brownies stand out is the half a cup of fresh dog poo. Everybody dropped their brownies. Everybody was freaking out. You know, what in the world are you talking about? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, that's a special ingredient, you know, for these brownies is fresh dog poo. And I went, what in the world, you know? And then his story was, you know, our lives, our language is supposed to be a blessing to God. But yet when we use curse words, when we use the Lord's name in vain, we are bringing in impurity into our Christianity. And that affects our Christianity just like this dog poo will these brownies. And I thought that was a very good illustration on how our life, how our tongue can affect our Christianity. You know, and I've always thought about that. I've always remembered that example. The next thing he talks about is our passions. Passions can be either beneficial or detrimental. They are either life-giving or life-denying, and it can share a border of mania. Paul, of course, is talking about negative or bad passion. Bad passion refers to intense emotions or desires that lead to negative outcomes. It can manifest as obsessive love, jealousy, or addiction. Okay? It's good to have passion for Christ, for Christianity, for our family. But where it's bad is when our passion is earthbound. Okay? The next thing he talks about is evil desire. Evil desire in the Bible refers to evil that is done that stems from the flesh, which is of a sinful nature. The sinful nature is our negative, destructive side. Okay? So we've got to be careful about that. And then the last thing that Paul mentions is covetousness. Covetousness refers to an eager or excessive desire, especially for wealth or possessions. It implies an inordinate desire, often for another person's possessions, you know. But Paul doesn't stop there. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Why? These are idolatry. Old Testament, idolatry was a carved image. But again, this is a new religion. We have new standards. We are the temple. And the earthly things that can possess us are idolatry. Do you think of that when you think of idolatry? Do you think of the emotional things that we can have? The emotional things that we could do? The emotional things sometimes that control our lives? That is the new idolatry. These are the things that we need to worry about, not necessarily worshiping an elephant, which people do today, but we as Christians need to be careful of these emotional things that can lead to idolatry. A new way that we can commit the sinful act of idolatry. It has nothing to do with a carved image. This new way of idolatry has to do with our emotions and desires and our wants, not a physical idol worship. Yes, it is still a sin to worship an idol, but now it deals with how we act as a Christian. We are the temple of God. God, as the Holy Spirit, dwells in us when we become a Christian. We can't be like the Jews and claim to be wise, but have spiritual idolatry in our lives. We must not have idol worship of the spiritual kind in our lives as a Christian. In Ephesians 5, verse 5, Paul goes on in his letter to the Ephesians. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, again, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. So he reemphasizes this to the Ephesians. If we have earthly sin, if we have the devil living in us to the point that we are sexually immoral or impure, meaning we are not 100% living a Christian life, if we are sexually immoral or impure or covetous of others, then we are an idolater. Not the type that is worshiping a metal animal, but one that is following the devil and his earthly vices. We have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What is that inheritance? That is our eternal home in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, again, Paul tells us to flee from sexual immorality, that every other sin in a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body, which is our temple. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And we talked about that last month, how Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and died for us. He died so we could have forgiveness of sins. We were bought with the price of Jesus dying. How are we treating our temple? And then going down to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Again, we cannot be a true Christian if we are committing idolatry by sin to have dominion in our lives. There is no agreement with God's temple within us and the devil's idolatrous living. They are like water and oil that do not mix. Have you ever done that? Take maybe in middle school or elementary school, you take water and you pour oil in it, and then you shake it vigorously, and you stop, and they'll separate again. That's how light is with darkness. That is how God is with the devil. That is how our life is, should be with sin. They should not mix. Okay? They should not mix. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and the devil. Again, there's only two ways, either light or dark, either God or the devil, either good or evil. The two don't mix. And that's what we need to decide in how we're going to live our Christian life. Are we going to live it totally for God or the devil? You can't have a foot on either side of the fence. It's one or the other, and that is up to you to decide. Our last two verses this morning are found in 1 Corinthians 10:14 and 1 John 5:21. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And again, I'm not talking about worshiping an idol. I'm talking about our spiritual idolatry and how we live our life. In 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Again, Paul tells us the idolatry and the idols he's referring to are sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, and the like. You know, when Paul lists sins, he always ended it with "and the like." And I'm going to do the same this morning, that these are not the only five things that we can do as a Christian for idolatry. There are others, things that we could do that drives a wedge between us and God, things that drive a wedge between us and the Holy Spirit, things that bring shame to our temple. We cannot be caught up in idolatry today. We need to be careful of that. We need to be aware of that. We need to not do it. And sometimes we need to, you know, examine ourselves and think about the things that we do, things that we say, and see if that's things that we need to get out of our life. You know, we are here this morning to help you with that fight that you might be having. Let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. That's what we are for as a family, is to encourage each other and to help us get through these times until the Lord comes again or we die, whichever. Either way, we win. Or maybe you haven't put Christ on in baptism, and that's something that you need to do today. The baptistry is ready. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.